Thursday, we will be doing the usual. But then the highlight would be a report out from Daniel Buckner on the Decentralized Identity Foundation. So I expect our attendance to be a little light today. A lot of people are at no conference. And let's see. Okay, so IP note. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, if you've not agreed to the group's IP policy, we cannot consider substantive contributions. Call notes. These meetings and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at this location that I'm putting into IRC. Let's see, one sec. Okay, we use IRC to cue speakers during the call as well as to take minutes. And all attendees should type present plus, no space in between, to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript, unless, of course, your name is Brent, in which case you need to disambiguate yourself by putting the alias that you are used to logging in with. To in IRC, type Q plus to add yourself to the queue with an optional reminder. So Q plus to blah blah blah, where blah blah is what you wanted to remind yourself of. Even if you're not in IRC, just simply ask to be put on the queue, and please be brief so the rest of the queue can get a chance to chime in, and you can always Q plus again. Today, okay, we do need to get a scribe today. If we don't have any volunteers, I will start going through the list. So, but to make this process less painful, do we have any volunteers to scribe? Okay, now for the shaming time. Let's see. Okay, first on the list, I have Big Blue Hat or Benjamin, are you able to scribe? Chris Weber, are you on the call? Able to scribe? Dan Pape. David Chadwick is not on the call. David Lane. David Lane, are you able to scribe? And Drummond said he will not be on the call. Jeff Orgel. Okay, I'm skipping over a few people who aren't here. So if you just joined, we're looking for a volunteer to scribe. I'm still going through the list to find someone. Ted Thibodeau, are you able to scribe? Mike Lauder isn't here. Or is Andrew? So we're getting into repeat people. So let me go back to the beginning of that list. Okay, Benjamin Young, are you able to scribe? Chris Weber? David Lane. Okay, let me, we might be missing possible scribe candidates. Let's see. Okay, so we're just going to hang out on the call till we have a volunteer to scribe. So if you're just joining in, we're looking for a volunteer to scribe.
This is Adrian. I'll scribe, even though I'm really bad at it.
Well, you're you volunteered recently too, so thank you for that. And we will find ways to increasingly apply pressure to those of you who are able to scribe and not doing it. So thank you very much, Adrian. Let's see. Okay, introductions and reintroductions. Anyone new on the call today that would like to introduce themselves? Okay, let's move to reintroductions. I have Chris Weber. Chris, are you able to reintroduce? Skipping over a few people who were not here. Ken Ebert, are you able to reintroduce yourself? Ken?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Yeah, I'm Ken Ebert. I'm a software architect and open standards engineer with the Sovereign Foundation. I joined Sovereign about 6 months ago and have been working on the Verifiable Credentials working group, and we'll be working on the DID specification as soon as that gets into a working group. Sovereign is a worldwide public utility trying to provide self-sovereign identity to anyone who wants to participate. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Next, we have announcements and reminders. Let's see. So right now, happening is No in Vegas. So many people are here right now and attending talks, which is why the attendance would be kind of light. The next conference we have is IIW, and that will be April 30th through May 2nd. And for more information, you can still sign up for it. I'll send a link. So that was all I had on announcements and reminders. Does anyone else have anything to add? Actually, I have something to add. It's something we can update for the Decentralized Identity Foundation. We're planning to do a SSI interop hackathon the day before. So I call it hackathon. I'm not sure if I'm totally right, but what the goal is to build a SSI interop end-to-end scenario. So by hackathon, it may mean, sort of more use case definition, schema development of the credentials being issued. But, so that will be the day before IIW, which would be, so April 29th. Let me see. Let's move on to action items. Okay, and next week we will have Heather on the call to review the results of the 2018 end of year survey. So she also sent out the report to the list, so feel free to check that out in case you want to get prepared for questions. But, yes, we'll review it then and discuss, especially in terms of impact and things we might do differently in 2019. We have been having CCG call connection problems. Reach out to us. Probably the mailing list would be best if you've been experiencing problems dialing in. I realize I'm working with the reduced set already, or if you know of people having problems, I think we're mostly getting them sorted out, but I just want to make sure That's working out. Did methods in the registry without associated DID specifications, that seems to be making a lot of progress. That is issue number 59 that I pasted in here. One second. So looking
I think that's Drummond and Manu and Marcus, and I don't, right. Is Marcus here?
No.
Okay, so we don't have any of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to assign this to them to make it clear that they're that they need to decide when it's ready to close this issue.
Perfect. And I do notice looking at the registry, which I just typed in, let's see, we have all accounted for, but the three that we had called out that were in the original draft. So these ones that have been around longer. So consent, U-port, I see multiple U-ports. It is the one with U-port as opposed to Ether and Dominode. So if you are on the call and know who is responsible for those, I think we've identified some owners, but if you want to ping those people and let them know that we're missing DID specs, please feel free to do that. Okay, so that's it for DID method registry. We should be able to close that down soon, hopefully. Okay, create DID explainer for the W3C tag, integrate into DID primer. Joe is not here today. I noticed Dan Burnett also assigned, but he's on the call. Dan, if you're able to speak up, if you know about the DID explainer, I'm going to paste the issue in here.
Yes, we are working on it. Obviously there have been many discussions recently about exactly what resolution versus dereferencing is and so on, and those are important for the tag. One piece of information that we need, and that's probably going to be from Manu again, is essentially what the driver for that is from the tag. What is the deadline for that, and who is it that is expected to need this? Who's demanding this, and what is the time frame? But Joe and I are working on it. We have a regular weekly call where we work on the document.
Excellent. I think, and you have a good point about what's the time, what are the exact expectations. I'm working with Joe on the use cases, and I think also, I think we need to find out what sort of time frame we're looking at. So when the chairs meet this Friday, we'll get into that some more and report back. Thank you, Dan. Okay, lastly, in one, we need update from the Ethereum community on differences between various DID-based EIPs. Bowden had been volunteered to investigate that for us, and I noticed some activity on it. I think I noticed he's on the call. Bowden, are you able to speak to this?
Yeah, I'm here. Do you hear me?
Yes, great.
Okay, perfect. So I've updated the issue on GitHub with a table that enumerates these EIPs that are related to DAD standard and VC standard that allows to manage identity, Ethereum-based identity. So there is some starting point for people interested to understand about Ethereum-based identity and how it relates to DAD standard. But the thing is that that issue is, so I'm not the big Ethereum expert and especially Ethereum identity expert, And that issue is complex and it's dynamic. So these EIPs change. So I just put this comment into GitHub that it's more like just a starting point, just a skeleton from where you can or research yourself or anyone is encouraged to add clarity there. So maybe guys from Uport or ERC 725 standard can, you know, explain what is the difference between their two standards and so on.
Okay, great. And I noticed some subsequent discussion. The main thing is OED Joel pointed out ERC 780 is no longer supported by UPort or 3box. 780 is a claims registry, and weighed in that we want to maintain that that's, you know, we want to keep a row for him, basically state explicitly it's no longer supported.
Yeah, so I've re-added the row about EIP 780. The funny thing about it, EIP, that it was created by UPort, but as far as I understood, UPort no longer uses it, but ERC 725 Foundation still uses it. So as I said, this is a dynamic situation. 725 standard changes, so they now have draft 2, and they appears to me that they use this registry on Ethereum blockchain. So
excellent. So yeah, Bowden, I think this looks wonderful, and I think that. So I get your point in terms of, yeah, it would be great to have an Ethereum person weigh in some more, but I think that this is a really good starting point for making sense out of the various EIPs that are related to identity and place management. And so I think the only follow-up would be the chairs we can discuss on Friday. I think Christopher had a concern about, oh, and Christopher can speak, I'll get to you a sec. I have a concern about where to make this information discoverable. At the same time, we don't have a standard place for that yet, so maybe we want to add some sort of FAQ area or something like that. So, but I think that that's something the chairs can decide. Christopher, did you have anything to add?
Yeah. I want to thank you very much for putting together this list. I mean, we really would like to address the discoverability issue and also see some of the people from those communities be involved with the CCG and explain differences. If you're up for it, it might be useful to kind of track down what the GitHub names are of some of these key people so that we can tag them as issues. So if you're up for digging in just a little bit more and finding like what the key GitHub contributors to these things are. Part of the thing that I'm concerned about is that there are a number of people out there saying, hey, we're doing DIDs via, you know, Ethereum 725, but then they're not participating in this list. Or I saw a 735 thing recently that, you know, was saying that they weren't doing verifiable claims, but they're not. So, you know, we need to kind of draw them into these communities if they're going to use the terminology and say that they're supporting these things. We'd really like to, you know, get more input from them. So I'd say that for everybody, if you're, you know, at a conference and, people are talking about these, supporting these Ethereum proposals, help, let them know that they ought to be involved with the CCG. That's it.
open your next?
Yeah, so just to quickly reply to that, I've actually mentioned the authors of these EIPs, and actually the Joel Thorstenson, who is the author of UPort-related EIPs, he replied that they do not longer support 780. So others didn't reply to that, but I will mention them again, so maybe they can clarify it.
Thank you.
Okay, the queue is empty, and I think we're down to the main issue of the day. Dan, are you on the call? Daniel? Let me ping him on Slack real fast.
Does anybody have a URL that's kind of what their project list, their current project list is? I'm not seeing. I'm sure it's somewhere in GitHub, but I'm not sure where.
So Daniel's having a hard time connecting, which, to your point, I definitely should have gotten a place to group dial in. So I'll keep working. We'll give him a few minutes to try to get in, but if not, we can close earlier. Christopher, whatever topic you had going, keep that going.
Yeah, about the discoverability issue, I mean, one of the big things that the CCG does is to be kind of a coordination point between a lot of these different efforts. So I want to, make sure that, not only from the perspective of the DID registry, but, more information from your projects. And, if you have some thoughts about how we can act as a coordinator, between the different things. So there are a number of projects that I'm not very familiar about. I would love to have some of those projects present here at the CCG about their status. And, I'd like to have at least once a month, somebody from the ecosystem, present for 10, 15 minutes, what they're working on, what standards they're supporting, what their specific niche and approach is. So if that's something you want to be one of those people, let the chairs know, and we'll start scheduling these ecosystem participants presentations soon.
Yeah, so great, because, we have a couple of GID focused groups going off and doing some deep dives. So when they're ready to report back, we'll obviously be spending a lot of time in these calls on GIDs, but, we're able to work in some more, different variety of topics. So Daniel is connecting now, so we figured out the problem. And so he should be dialing in now. And radio, dead air is always really bad. So I'm sort of hoping that Sam can lay down some beats right now, but...
I got nothing. Hey there, folks. Hey. This is Daniel. I just joined. I was trying to get on for a bit, and I heard you all were. I was going to talk a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we were.
So, sorry. Yeah, so we brought you. Oh, yeah, no worries. We were having a good time. So, yes, we wanted to bring you on to talk to the various DIF initiatives in progress. So, I mentioned at the beginning of the call, you know, obviously IIW is coming up, which many people in this group will be going to. But the SSI Interop, what I'm calling it hackathon, or I don't know exactly what it is, but we'll be able to focus more on some concrete use cases. And, you know, so I was hoping that you could talk to kind of some upcoming efforts, but then also the various DIF initiatives, you know, sort of give an overview of the working groups and talk about, you know, just sort of what's been done, what sort of problems we're trying to solve over in DIF. So yeah, I'll just turn it over to you.
Great. Awesome. Okay. So, I think, you know, there was some really productive discussions here at NO. I think there would be a lot more activity happening in DIF, a lot more openness, all sorts of stuff. So just from an organizational perspective, I think leading up to this next IIW, I think the whole organization is going to make an effort to really, you know, change in some ways that I think are going to be better. In terms of what we're working on, and we're going to talk about the day before IIW on April 29th as a group, which, again, feel free if anyone wants to come. I'll make sure that this community has, you know, the location and stuff. The biggest things we're working on right now in active projects, one is a flavor of DID authentication that is both does authenticated encryption in the spirit of Flow 10 from the RWAT paper a while back. So it's had that capability for a while. Uses JWEs, sort of a vanilla flow that matches that that description in that paper. And we added to it and are augmenting with, you know, docs and descriptions out of the auth working group in DIF, an OIDC compatible self-issued variant of authentication that Mike Jones and more primarily Mike Jones has worked on ensuring kind of is as much of an exemplar as you could imagine to do authentication via that existing standard with the IDs. So we're hoping to kind of codify that in DIF as just one flavor of auth that, you know, the organization can recommend and say, hey, you know, if you're into OIDC self-issued, if that's kind of the scheme that you want to support, here's a library to do it. And that's already out there in a repo and should be, you know, very usable by April 29th with better documentation. Another thing that we're working on is something that, you know, I published an article about a little bit ago called Sitetree. It's not a specific DID method per se. It's more of like an overlay protocol for blockchains and ledgers that you could use with a proper config to make a DID method. The core proposition of this sort of protocol is that you achieve some scaled volumes that may not be possible in other ways. And we're seeing, you know, some great numbers. Our devs at Microsoft are working on Bitcoin testnet. That's, you know, Bitcoin's going to be the chain that we stand up an incarnation of this with first. And, you know, we're seeing on a MacBook Pro, you know, a couple years old, one of the devs is doing about 30 to 40,000 per second sustained DID ops against testnet with a low utilization, you know, very, very small single-digit percentages of the consumption. You know, we're talking 1% consumption on the chain. So it does get you those things. It's not a trusted authority scheme. It's not a CA scheme. It's completely open and permissionless. When we run this on Bitcoin as Microsoft, there are no signatories. We don't control anything or own any piece of, you know, saying who can and can't you know, get their ops into this thing. So it is very much in the spirit of, say, something like Lightning, for instance. So that's positive. We also have another group. We're the primaries in the Bitcoin one, but this other group, Transmute, who's a member of DIF, is working on an Ethereum method. It's under the repo. It's called Element, and it's basically just adapting the small piece of code that you need to, you know, sort of direct Sitetree at a chain, which is just maybe 10% of the code, to change all the rest of the Washington protocol stays the same. So they're working to stand that up on Ethereum. One of the other pieces of active work that, you know, Kim has been on calls for and, you know, participated in is this claim manifest that we've been sort of kicking around and speccing out. And the idea with a claim manifest, different than something like a claim description, where you describe the actual output values of the claim that you're going to get, the claim manifest is something that you would construct as an issuing party to say, you know, this, these are the things that you need to give me or provide me so you can get a claim. And those things, those inputs may be completely different than, you know, the output values that you're going to get in the claim from the issuing party. And it could be, and there's some selection logic, so you could say, hey, I need two of these four things and three of these five things, you know, for instance, and some raw values. And that's a way to codify, like, how you would submit essentially a bundle of things to get a proof that's mentioned, you know, in this manifest. And we did that primarily as Microsoft, driving that initially to, you know, the general need for it, because in doing some of these POCs and in signing up some of these paid customers, we have a realization that, you know, if we go out to market with this, we don't want to just come up with some one-off that we just think is necessary, because we don't want it to be a de facto standard, and we want people to be able to get the same claims that we can get. Right, like you shouldn't have to sign a deal with MasterCard to be able to know how to submit, you know, a batch of things to get a claim. You should be able to take any wallet and find this manifest and submit these things and get these claims. So that was the driving piece there. Those are the most active projects other than the Universal Resolver stuff that, you know, has been out there for a while. So any questions about that? Any of the three things I mentioned?
This is Ken. Are you using the claims manifest for issuing a credential or for providing a proof to someone on the other side of Verifier, or both?
So I almost feel like it's neither. So really the manifest is just, it's like, so you know, is everyone familiar with App Manifest and W3C for like installing apps? You know, web apps? It's more like that. Like an issuer would say, I'm going to issue you a general loan authorization, for instance, right? And the loan authorization might include your, you know, limit of the loan or the amount of the loan, your first and last name, all that stuff as the output. But the input, it's about what you need to give them, possible things you need to give them to get a loan authorization. So it doesn't describe the claim you're going to get. It describes the things you need to submit to get the thing you want. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think it applies both to the issuance of a credential,
yeah,
and it could also provide the same type of functionality on the back end for someone who wants to do a proof. So they say, I'm not asking you, I'm saying you could, for your proof, do the same sort of thing and say, can you provide me credentials that prove your age, and I'll accept a driver's license, a passport, or, you know, the same kind of,
yep,
thing where you're using. Maybe this is something,
yeah,
we could have a discussion on offline, but I think it's a fairly interesting topic, and the symmetry there is not 100%, but I think it's interesting to explore.
Yeah, absolutely, and we think this is something, and, you know, obviously there's some questions that arise right as you sit, you know, come up with something like a manifest, which I think is necessary to interoperate, which is, how do you find these manifests, and, you know, what's the exchange of that data, and how do you get the replies? All those things are totally valid, and they're kind of like other parts of that life cycle. So, you know, there's other things we're working on, like the Identity Hub stuff is like one personal data store where you might be able to hang your manifest off as the issuer, right? But we wanted to start the conversation with something that was kind of Switzerland, in the sense that everyone kind of, I think, can agree that it'd be good if we had a format that issuers to say, this is what you need to get or provide me to get the value, you know, this other claim. So, yeah, happy to have those discussions with anyone. Any other questions about, you know, the Sidetree stuff, the DID, you know, method, any of the other things I mentioned off?
So, Daniel, I actually had a few questions. So I can also take over queue management, because I imagine some people might want to weigh in on some things. So for the claims manifest, I was actually going to talk about that one, and Ken, I'm glad you asked about it. I think in that working group, one of the struggles were more examples, basically, of people who are actually working on those scenarios. I think, you know, some of us are kind of more working on systems where you know, we haven't really got there yet. Maybe we're working in sort of a closed system, or you can sort of assume a lot about, you know, maybe starting out for the use case quite aren't there. So, yes, it would be great to have you involved, Ken. I know for Sovereign and Evernym, having your input on that would be wonderful. But anyone else on the call, if you're interested in the sort of claims manifest aspects, especially if you're working on a product or prototype that uses that, we'd really like to have you involved. And I included the list in the minutes. I'm including links to the working groups. And Daniel, that leads into another question I have. So I included at first the link to the list of working groups. And you had talked about a couple of efforts. So if people wanted to get involved in GitAuth, which working group is that happening in?
So that's, we're kind of instantiating a working group for GitAuth. It's going to be, the chair is going to be Oliver from Uport. Oliver is the one who, I think he authored the JWT flavor of verifiable credentials. So he's already done a ton of work. He's been working really, really closely with Mike Jones to, you know, and the OpenID folks to get the OIDC compatible variant going. So he kind of was our logical choice in the community. And he's just going to be working with folks to define a scope that says, hey, you know, we're interested in making sure that we have off flavors X, Y, and Z. And then the, you know, kind of shaping how we get there and setting a roadmap for production of those libraries. So we can, that's going to be up on the website soon. All of these meetings, I think, are going to turn to completely open. I mean, we'll figure out value for members. You know, we'll figure out that piece of the equation. But I think you'll see some movement over the next 30 days. It's very positive. If folks, you know, want to be more involved in Diff, if there's that desire, I think it'll be much easier to involve very soon.
Great. And, okay, so I know that you mentioned, you've been saying that you're going to talk to the most active, but I did want to bring up the topic of some of the other working groups in case anyone in the call is interested. You know, I'm sure that if more energy and life came into it, it might be, we might want to rehydrate some of these working groups. So one is the identifier names discovery, which I think I've seen some activity on. I included a link to that working group. Daniel, can you talk briefly to that working group discovery?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the primary work streams for these things right now are the universal resolver, which has been there for a while and Mark has done a really, really great job with. So driver models for basically looking up DIDs and resolving their DID documents. And we have quite a few drivers now in that Java variant of the universal resolver. And, you know, I think we're getting quite a few others that are going to pop in there soon. So that's one major one. Another one is the sidechew stuff. That's probably the other large body of work. And we have about three organizations that are active in developing a protocol and helping that along. I know Microsoft will be using it, like I said, for a Bitcoin variant that we will announce more formally and kind of kick off on a testnet this month in April. So, well, is it April? I know it's March. Next month in April. So that's the bulk of the work. It's really those two things are the most active projects in the IND group.
Great. And then lastly, there's the storage compute working group that's working on some pretty interesting things like identity hubs. Can you talk briefly also to the storage compute working group?
Yeah. So, I mean, far and away, the only super active thing there, which is important, I think, really, if anything's going to work, is the personal data store piece called these identity hubs. And what that is a provider-agnostic encrypted and secure server for storing user identity data. And in our vision, how it was kind of constructed inside the foundation, these identity hubs aren't just for claims. They're not just for, like, you know, providing small signed proofs. It's really for application data. I mean, we see it and hope to see it become a serverless, sort of like the next wave of serverless for applications, much in the way that Blockstack's Gaia had have done it, but we, you know, we took a lot of ideas, and you know, there's been some cross-pollination of ideas, and are trying to coalesce around a data store that can do obviously the claims, the core claim stuff, but also the application data stuff across a set of replicated, synced devices the user owns, plus cloud endpoints that maintain one data state for the user.
Thanks, Daniel. And so there's no one on the queue, but I am seeing some questions in IRC. I'm sorry, I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly. If you want to speak up, this would be a good time. Otherwise, I can read out your questions if you're not on audio. Okay, so I'll read out one of them. So he's asking about, they're asking about Universal Resolver. And asking, is there any bridge to legacy systems like Finargo or Gemalto? And I'm not familiar with those. Also not familiar with any legacy adapters per se, but do you have anything you want to add to that, Daniel?
You know, it's I can't speak for Marcus because he pretty much he runs that whole project. But we haven't seen any adapters for, I guess I don't know why you technically couldn't do it. You know, you could always write an adapter that resolves pretty much anything, I suppose. But we just haven't seen a lot of activity because all the groups are really more or less focused on, you know, the DID methods. So I don't think it's exclusive. It's possible. We just haven't seen folks step up to the plate and really produce anything other than DID
yeah.
method resolvers.
What
yeah,
about
exactly. Go ahead.
What about Microsoft-led efforts that are also in the enterprise, like LDAP or any other things?
I mean, we as Microsoft haven't moved to do any of that either. So we're doing certain things to try and make DIDs more digestible by these systems. I'll give you an example. We have this thing called IEF, Identity Experience Framework. It's like transforms claims from like SAML.
Can you state that again? Sorry, IEF?
Identity. Yeah, it's this paid thing. I mean, I don't mean to drop product names, but I'm just telling you what it does. It's basically a claims transformation thing so that you can interoperate across like claims formats. It's not crazy, and it lets you put together flows. Like you can say, hey, to generate this claim, I write a little bit of XML and, you know, people will go through a certain flow to get the claim. We're going to try to make, like, whatever the DID claims are, like the output formats we support, that they can also be run through IEF, which will allow people in Azure AD to digest those claims just kind of like they would any other type of claim. So it's kind of like we are doing some compatibility things, you know, to try and make it easier for people, but we're not, in terms of the resolver, like focus on making non-DID, you know, identifiers resolvable. At least, you know, it's not been a focus yet.
Thank you, Daniel. Bowden had a question. And Bowden, do you want to speak up?
It's basically the question that I've written. What is the difference between the DIF and just this group and W3C DAD working group? Why DIF in general exists in general? What is its purpose? Who is it for? Who are the main participants, the main active participants? Is it more for individuals or for companies? What kind of companies? So.
Okay. Yeah. In general. Yeah, absolutely. So in general, we look at DIF as sort of a pre-standards, like emerging standards and technical development group for industry. So, you know, I've been a part of W3C for a long, long time since Mozilla days, and standards take a while to get going there. So we know that we'll front run some of the stuff to try and just prove it out. You know, some stuff gets thrown on the cutting room floor, you know, that sort of thing. But there's other things that are actually industry specific or that maybe is not typically what W3C would do. For instance, like the registry being in W3C for DIDs makes a lot of sense, but it's also an open registry and it should be where, you know, it's not like people are security checking every method and, you know, they're like applying like some sort of you know, additional rigor that might exclude a method. And while DIFF doesn't want to be exclusionary, because it's not a standards body in that sense, right? It's not like an SDO. It has the ability to say, hey, look, like, you know, there's this superset out there in W3C, but, you know, we're committing money to security check these things, make sure the cryptography libraries are using are sound, and kind of try and put a stamp of approval of, like, you know, you're not just dealing with a DID method that Billy Bob, you know, wrote in his basement or something. So there's, like, different interop efforts going on that are also sort of emergent things, like this claims manifest stuff just kind of came to be because some of the industry groups and companies that are working together were like, hey, you know, if we don't have this, then really it's just me and you talking our own lingua franca. So that's, you know, sort of the emphasis is like, let's gather enough of the industry use cases and drive to get things done and come out with some early stuff, knowing that it might have to change, you know, as it moves through to potentially like SDS standardization. Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
And I'll also weigh in from a different angle. So I see DIFF as complementary to what we're doing here. So I think I know one of the past the membership fees and then the the communications of that. So two aspects there. So one, CCG is, you know, you don't have to pay to be involved in like other W3C working groups, for example. And so with DIFF, the main thing there that I see that we're all aware of is, you know, the desire to make communications more open so that we can engage more community members, like not just the companies that are, you know, paying certain fees. So, and that's really critical, researchers at universities involved, things like that. So DIFF, I guess it's announced that DIFF is joined the Linux Foundation. So I know a few things are being kind of sorted out now, but, you know, we expect to give some more updates in that regard. So yeah, I think the main thing that is nice is the idea that certain things like Universal Resolver, for example, can be developed there by, you know, different folks that are, you know, working on different DID methods. You know, we can sort of prototype and do a lot of interop testing there. And then as it goes to maturity, so now Universal Resolver is a great example. So right now, you know, we're taking it in the CCG group, but we're starting the first step of the draft specification. So it seems like a really good part of the pipeline for the, you know, incubation prototypes, things like that. And at the same time, like, that's not to say it's all, you know, programming technical focus, because I know, say, like, in the claims working group, it's certainly beneficial to have more information about use cases. So I think having a lot of inputs there is really valuable. Yep. I'm not seeing anyone else on the queue. Daniel, do you have anything to add before we wrap up?
No, that's it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for calling. And if anyone else has any questions, thanks for joining. Again, next week we will be going through the poll results. So we'll be presenting the 2018 survey, actually, and I'm not sure what else we have planned that week, but yeah, you'll hear more from us soon. Thanks everyone for dialing in.